In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Joining me for today's chat is singer-songwriter Willie Nile, who commands great respect from his peers, including Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen, and Lucinda Williams. He recently released his 14th album called The Day the Earth Stood Still, and its title track serves as a recent coolest song in the world. Let's hear some of that now, followed by my talk with Willie on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Politicians were in the pockets. There were senators on the edge. There were Wall Street mooks shaking in their boots, standing on the window ledge. A cold north wind was blowing, giving everybody a chill. Nothing moved out on Main Street the day the earth stood still.
It's time again for a Coolest Conversations in Little Steven's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and my guest is singer-songwriter extraordinaire Willie Nile. How are you, Willie?
I'm fine. I'm happy to be here, man. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's very good to be speaking with you again, and I need to know, are you vaxxed to the max?
I've had 16 vaccinations myself because I think vaccinations are a good thing. So I thought I got 16. I'm having one next Wednesday. It'll be number 17. But kidding aside, yes, I'm fully vaxxed. Yeah.
Hey, so your family and friends, was everybody able to remain healthy and safe over the course of this pandemic?
Most of the family. I lost a couple of friends. You know, Hal Wilner, the great producer, died early on a year ago, March, and John Prine was a friend and he passed away as well. So one of my friends was a director. Really, he was sick a year ago, March, and he's still really sick. So, you know, my close family's been okay, but I lost some friends. Everybody. It's a nightmare. Hard times, you know, hard times in the world, you know.
Who all was in your pod, right? Who were you able to spend the past year with?
Well, my apartment in New York City, it was just me, you know, and I would venture out into the city. I wasn't shy about going out, but I would be, you know, had mask. I wore gloves a bunch, you know, in the first bunch of months because I didn't know what it was all about.
Yeah.
And I was in New York City for the most part, just hanging low, you know, keeping it tight. A few friends here and there, you know, but I was lucky. I actually was on 20 flights, 20 airplane flights from September to, March or so. I went to Europe a bunch of times. You know, my girlfriend lives in Italy, you mm-hmm. know, and so I went back and forth about four times back and forth. And I wore a mask. I wore a face shield. I was careful and I've been lucky. So I've been lucky.
So I guess the answer to the question, what did you do during the pandemic, is that you came up with a new album.
Well, what I did during the pandemic was I'm always writing, you know, and to see New York City, if you'd have told me 2 years ago that New York City would be a ghost town, I would have thought you were nuts, you know, but indeed, you know, there was a strange beauty about it. Walking down these empty streets, stray person here and there, very little traffic. It was hauntingly beautiful knowing that behind all these buildings, there were people because people didn't go out.
Yeah.
So I thought it was fascinating. I still felt the energy of the city, mm-hmm. even though there wasn't the hustle and bustle. So I just continued writing and, I'm always active. I was writing, arranging, and in late May, I had a handful of songs gathered, and I thought this might be, you know, the making of a new album. And then in May, I went to my storage space, which is a block from the Holland Tunnel, which is southern Manhattan. And in rush hour, it's a parking lot. And on Friday at rush hour, it's an absolute, you can go 45 minutes and not go two blocks. And late May of 2020, I went to my storage space, came out, walked to the corner of Varick and Spring Street, and there was not one car looking uptown or downtown, not one person. At 6 o'clock on a Friday rush hour, I actually took photos with my phone both directions, and it hit me like a ton of bricks, the day the earth stood still. And that was the title. And I wrote the song, you know, about a week later, and I knew right then it was the title of the album.
And that title of the album, the title track, that's our coolest song in the world this week. Let's talk some about the putting the album together. Where and when did you record it?
We recorded it in January in Weehawken, which is right across the tunnel from Manhattan. The first signal, there's a great studio there, Hobo Sound, where I've made records since 2011. Great little studio. And we were all masked up. The musicians union says if somebody sings in a room, no one could go in that room for an hour. And so we would be in the studio 12, 14 hours a day, all masked up, the musicians, the engineer, my co-producer. We made it in January, made it pretty quickly, and we were able to do it. The music was inspiring to us.
Yeah.
It was good fun.
So there was none of this recording separately and sending tracks back and forth. No. You guys were all doing it together.
We do. I record. I think you get the best vibe when everybody's playing at the same time. The three guys, you know, Johnny Paisano, Jimmy Bones, and John Weber, my bass player, guitar player, and drummer, were in one room. I was in a separate room. I was singing and playing at the same time.
See?
And you get that energy, you know, that live vibe, which I love, which you can totally hear on the title track, The Day the Earth Stood Still.
So you produced the album with Stuart Lerman?
Yes. We co-produced. The last bunch of albums I've made, I've co-produced with Stuart. Stuart does all of Marty Scorsese's films and projects. I've known Stuart since, I think, 1988, I met him. And he's just a great guy. I love working with him. And we have a good thing. And it just keeps getting better. You know, I think the sound just gets better and better on each album.
You mentioned him working with Martin Scorsese. And I was going to add that, you know, he's a Grammy-winning music producer, recording engineer. Worked also with the likes of Elvis Costello and Nico Case, Patti Smith, Jewel Shear, Marshall Crenshaw, Loudon Wainwright III, a host of others. What does Stuart get about you that maybe wouldn't be apparent to any other producer?
Well, Stuart, we've been working together since 1988, and he knows whatever quirks I have. He knows, like, when I'm singing, he knows if I'm on it, if I can do better. And the funny thing about Stuart, musically, he'll have an idea because, you know what, we could use another guitar hook over here. We've worked together so much, we know each other. So it's really become second nature to both of us. And there's a great vibe. His bedside manner is really relaxed, very soulful. He's got a great sense of groove. You know, if the pocket is a little rushed or a little back, he's got a good sense of that. I love working with the guy.
You mentioned that he's familiar with some of your quirks. What is a quirk? What's a Willie Nile quirk?
Well, you got a couple hours, I'll tell you. I think not many, really. He knows that I care about every single part of the process. I know every note that gets played. I want it to be as good as it can be.
Yeah.
I don't make a record unless I think I've got something special. I won't go in the studio. I don't want to waste anybody's time, mine included. And he knows, he appreciates the songs, you know, and his addition. I asked his opinion. If I've got a question about a particular song, I'm not sure about this one. Should we put this on the album? And he'll say, hell yeah, this has got to go on. and his sensibilities are really good about that. He's a real song man, song based guy. He gets it. He knows lyrics. He knows songs. And we trust each other implicitly.
Well, let's talk about some of those songs, and we'll start off with our coolest song in the world this week, the title track, The Day the Earth Stood Still. Of course, it shares the name of the 1951 science fiction movie. Do you recall the first time you saw the film?
Oh, absolutely. That's a classic. Someone told me they thought it was Martin Scorsese's favorite film. It's just a classic sci-fi film. You know, I saw it when I was a kid, you know, and it's like a Twilight Zone, you know.
Yeah.
the looking at it now, it's still, it was engaging. It was interesting. Looking, it's like a timepiece now, the early 50s. And it was interesting, you know, and the idea of a space bag coming to Earth to decide whether to destroy it or not, depending on whether the human race was worth saving. I thought that that was kind of a cool, clever way to, you know, put a story out there.
Right. And of course, the first thing they do is shoot him.
The first thing to do is shoot the guy. Welcome to the human race.
Right. So I really love the tune, and I'm so happy you worked that line in from the movie. And I'm hoping I'm going to say this right, the Klaatu Barada Nikto.
You did, yeah.
Has anybody asked you, what are you doing? What does that mean? What are you saying?
My band asked me, everybody, you know, people of a certain age who've seen the movie know it, you know, it's a classic. And I read up on it. So while writing the song, I thought maybe there could be a cool chant in here. And I knew Klaatu Barada Nikto. So I read up on it. And the guy that wrote the film, they asked him, well, what does that mean? Because Klaatu is the name of the spaceman.
Right.
Michael Rennie's character. So the spaceman Klaatu, he gets shot. He's about to die. And he tells Patricia Neal, the female lead in the movie, he tells her, go to the spaceship. Tell Gort. Gort is the funny looking robot in front of guard in the spaceship. Go tell Gort, Klaatu Barada Nikto. It's really important you do that, because if you don't and I die, he's going to destroy the planet. And I thought it took me like 20 seconds to come up with that chant. Yeah. I just thought kind of cool to have it in there. I mean, it was fun to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thinking about the rest of the record, the new album, there's 11 tracks, and you do such a terrific job of balancing the serious and the silly, great sense of humor coming off through tracks like Off My Medication, Where There's a Willie, There's a Way. And of course, that one, I was looking at the songwriting credits, and I believe our very own Michael DeBar, Underground Garage DJ, collaborated with that. So tell me some about that song.
You know, it's so funny. A friend of mine told me that Michael, God bless him, last summer, like in August, had some really nice things to say about me on the air, one of my songs. And so I texted him. I met him at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a couple of years ago. So I texted him, say, hey, Michael, thank you for the kind words and for playing the song. And he wrote back, my pleasure, you know, where there's a Willie, there's a way. And I looked at that, and right away, you know, I hear songs. I went, that's a song. So I wrote him, that's a song. Let's write it. And he said, I'm in. Let's do it. I was in Italy in October, November, and I knocked the song off, you know, and I called him up. I said, how is, you know, what do you think? And so we agreed on it. We finished it, and it's a riot. It's funny. It's tongue in cheek. It's supposed to be funny. So Michael, God bless him. You know, he's got a great sense of humor, you know, his wit. He loved it. He was so excited when I ran by him what I was working on. And we, you know, I'm thrilled to have a song with him. You know, I'm a big fan of his, and the song's funny. And like you say, I like mixing up the serious, you know, with the ridiculous, with, you know, whether it's ironic or selfie facing, it's supposed to be fun. And I like mixing it up. It's what you do on the radio. It's what, you know, a good DJ, a good host is like, how about this? And hey, let's party over here. And oh, by the way, we could do this down the block. I like that combination of changes here and there.
Well, thanks. I mean, I agree with you here. But turning to a more serious thing here, you've got a really cool tune inspired by the late congressman and civil rights leader John Lewis. It's called The Justice Bell. Tell us some about that. What were you trying to, ready to kill some fascists with that?
You know, no, I'm not going to kill anybody. But, you know, I love that song. I had the good fortune to meet John Lewis a couple of years ago. He came to New York City for a birthday party of former Congressman Joe Crowley. Mm-hmm. Joe Crowley was a congressman in New York 20 years, and he worked with John closely for years. Joe Crowley, when he was 19 years ago, climbed in my dressing room window with a buddy to get a towel signed. And Joe still has
came in through the bathroom window. Is that what you did?
Came in through the bathroom window. Anyway, Joe gave me a great introduction to Congressman John Lewis. And so I had a great moment with him, and it was just so deep. I got to tell him in all sincerity how grateful and thank you for all that he's done. You know, he's an American icon, a treasure, a guy looking for justice for all, you know, fair play. I mean, I respect the guy. He's an American treasure. And I got, he spoke for about 10 minutes after we met. And I was like 5 feet from him. And it was just, I would say one of the, I've had so many mountaintops in my life. I'm a lucky guy. And that's one of my mountaintops. And so I wrote that song with my buddy, Frankie Lee. And it's kind of in the world of Let It Be or Imagine, Hey Jude. And the ironic thing about it is it's in that vein. I mean, what am I comparing it to them? But it's that kind of a style of song. We recorded that song on January 6th and we're in the studio recording it. And people kept coming in the studio. Hey, you got to see what's going on TV. They're attacking the Capitol. And we were like, we'll have to see it later. We're in the middle of something. The band couldn't believe we were recording this song, this beautiful song during that, you know, going on in DC. The next day when I woke up, it was risky, but I played Imagine. And then I played Hey Jude. And then I played our version of the Justice Bell just to see how, if it, you know, was, and I was proud to say that it sounded great. It's a song for John Lewis. It's a song about fair play, justice, equality. And I'm thrilled. It's one of the highlights of my life, meeting John Lewis, no doubt about it. There's a picture in the album. I got a photograph with him. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You can't make it up.
So you have started doing shows again, right?
Oh yeah. We did one last night. I'm pretty tired. We've been playing since April. We did a first show, you know, in the Northeast, and where am I now? I'm in the mountains in Massachusetts. We got a show tomorrow night as well. We were in Boston last night. To see the fans coming out, you know, the smiles on their faces, the band, same thing, smiles on our faces, friends seeing friends. Oh my God, I haven't seen you guys in 6 months, 16 months. People, how many people said to me, I haven't seen a concert in 16 months. I'm so glad to be out to hear live music again. You know, I hope that it doesn't get, it's getting worse. You know, I hope it doesn't turn back into a complete shutdown. Cause last year we had one concert all, you know, once COVID hit. So, I mean, you know, there's a song on the album called Time to Be Great. And in the face of this nightmare, you know, I was watching TV. I watched the news pretty closely. What does one do in the face of a nightmare like this pandemic? And I thought, well, time to be great. Let's all just try to be our best selves. Let's try to help each other. Let's try to do the right thing. Let's pick ourselves up and make it better. You know, that's, I'm just born with either a naivety or just a positiveness. Like let's you and I make it better. Manfred, you do the best you can do. I'll do the best I can do. And that I wrote that song. So there's a lot of songs on the album inspired by the pandemic, trying to make things better, you know?
So let's see, tomorrow you're playing Tarrytown, New York, at the Tarrytown Theater, and then on Sunday at the City Winery in New York City. That winery gig, is that the official album release show?
Yes, it is. It's the official album release show, and I cannot wait. I mean, I can't wait for both shows. Tarrytown's a great place, a great theater, old school American theater, and this, the new City Winery in New York is just a classic venue, and we'll be playing the album top to bottom for the first time, and I just can't wait.
Oh, excellent. Are there any special guests or anybody going to hop on stage with you?
We could have a few strangers passing by join us on stage. You know? We've got a few people going to join us in surprise. And it's I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, you love music. It's why you do what you do. I love it. The band, my guys, we all love music. It's meaningful to us. And music at its best can bring redemption, a sense of salvation. It can pick you up when you're down. And this album, I wanted to make it, even though it's a lot of pandemic themes, I wanted it to be a pick-me-up. It makes me feel better to play these songs. And even a song like Blood on Your Hands, you know, it's like their healing can go on. So, you know, these next two nights, especially the 22nd in New York, it's going to be a lot of healing. We're going to blast this record out with every cell in our body.
Yeah. Well, you just mentioned Blood on Your Hands, and that's the track I want us to take a listen to as we wrap things up. Blood in Your Hands has got Steve Earle on it. I read that he's like a West Village neighbor of yours. Is that correct?
You know, it's crazy. Steve is great. He lives right, you know, like two or three buildings around the corner from me. I run into him in the village all the time. And it's one of the things I love about New York. Like the Patti Smith lives like a block away. Little Steven lives a block away, you know, and Steve is a couple buildings away, and I run into him. We become friends. And when I'm a huge fan of Steve, he's an American treasure, you know?
Yeah.
He's like Johnny Cash to me, you know, just this icon. It's great songwriter. We've done gigs together and we've sung together. And we're near the end of the project. And I had the song called Blood on Your Hands. And I thought, I'm going to I'm going to text Steve and see, hey, buddy. You know, so I asked him, hey, Steve, I got this song. You around? He goes, I'm around. I texted him the song. And I says, it's called Blood on Your Hands. And I told him a little bit about it. And I sent him an MP3. And he writes back, okay. And then, you know, there's a guy making a movie about me, a documentary, right? And he knows it. In the documentary, the filmmaker, the director said, can you ask him if it's okay if we film it? And I said, oh God, I don't want to be asking too much. So I said, Steve, hey, we're making the documentary we're making. He knows about it. I said, is it okay if we film it? He writes back, okay. He was fine with it. And he came in. We spent 2 hours talking. It took him 10 minutes to sing it. He killed it. It was this right key, and a real honor to have him on a song like that. And he brings a real street grit and depth to it that just thrills my heart to this day. I'm forever grateful for Steve for singing on this track.
Well, we thank you once again for joining me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Well, it's an honor and a pleasure to be here, my friend. Thank you for the support, and thanks for being the great champion you are of like artists far and wide, big and small. It's great. The stuff you play is inspiring to me. Most of my buddies are all big fans and listen. So thank you for doing what you do and for carrying the torch of rock and roll forward, which you do so well. Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
Well, Wooly, that is a two-way street. And I'm glad that we got traffic moving both directions on it, right?
Bless your heart, man.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's take a listen now. It's Blood on Your Hands featuring Steve Earle, Wooly Nile, off the day the earth stood still in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Well, you can dance with the devil, and you can run with the Lord, and you can buy all the glory that your conscience can afford. Yeah, but there will come a day when the pony gets played, when the goose gets cooked, when the piper gets paid. Blood on your hands.
With some help from Steve Earle, that was Wooly Nile here in Little Steven's Underground Garage with the track Blood on Your Hands. That's off Willie's latest album, The Day the Earth Stood Still. Thanks again to Wooly for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our interview. And join me next time when my guest will be Detroit area singer-songwriter Nick Punti. He's got a couple of new singles coming out. That's your next Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.